Well, g'day and welcome to this week's edition of the Journey Radio program. It's grand final fever all around the country and all the different codes and finishing up of footy seasons and kicking off of cricket season. It's always an interesting time of year when you've got one ending and the other one kicking off. Big summer of cricket facing us. The weather's heating up. Long weekends if you're in New South Wales. I really hope you're enjoying this season as we're moving well into spring and heading towards those summer months. It's a great time of year. And thank you for joining us. This week we've got some really good stuff to share with you on the show, some really good music. We've got lots of Gus and Iggy, and we're going to hear from Interior Castle and Need to Breathe and a whole lot more. We're going to hear from Dr. Byron and Francine Parola. Smart Loving is their organisation. Great inputs and really well-renowned, the stuff that they've produced for all of the stuff around marriage and marriage preparation. We're going to hear from Marilyn Rodriguez on parenting. Peter Gilmore's with us, Living the Gospel. He's got some great stuff to say to us about faith in action. Bruce Downs, the Catholic guy, he's with us too. We're going to hear from Sister Hilda Scott, as well as Father Mike Delaney, the second in his series, really, that he was with us last week, breaking open this Gospel of St. Mark, Mark chapter 9, verses 38 to 43. We're going to hear that proclaimed from Nick Weir, and then we're going to hear what Father Mike has got to say to us about this Gospel passage. We're also going to hear from Interior Castle, Emma Fradd. She's a great girl. She does a lot of really amazing work around the country with an organisation called NET, National Evangelisation Teams. And I think I was at the pub when they launched this song. Really great contemporary feel, but a really strong Christian message underneath all the time. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and thanks for joining us on the journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 to 43, 45, and 47 to 48. John said to Jesus, "Master, we saw a man who is not one of us casting out devils in your name, and because he was not one of us, we tried to stop him." But Jesus said, "You must not stop him. No one who works a miracle in my name is likely to speak evil of me. Anyone who is not against us is for us. If anyone gives you a cup of water to drink, just because you belong to Christ, then I tell you solemnly, he will most certainly not lose his reward. But anyone who is an obstacle to bring down one of these little ones who have faith would be better thrown into the sea with a great millstone round his neck. And if your hand should cause you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than to have two hands and go to hell, into the fire that cannot be put out. And if your foot should cause you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye should cause you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die, nor their fire go out." The Gospel of the Lord.
Throughout my years of priesthood, and even whilst at school, I was involved with my brothers and sisters of other Christian traditions in many and varied ways. For many years I was a member of the Tasmanian Council of Churches. I've served as a member of one of the commissions of the National Council of Churches in Australia. I've worked with an inter-church workplace chaplaincy group as an industrial chaplain, as well as serving for 34 years as a reserve chaplain in the Royal Australian Navy. Even today, some of my closest companions in ministry are the Christian leaders who work alongside me in this great community, which is the Mersey Leven Catholic Parish. I mention all this not to tell you how great I am, but because in spite of this long involvement in ecumenical activities, there are still times when I sound just like John in today's Gospel reading. Listen to what he says. "Master, we saw a man who is not one of us casting out devils in your name, and because he was not one of us, we tried to stop him." How often can we look at other Christian traditions and have made less than complimentary remarks about them, their ways of celebrating liturgy, sometimes even suggesting that they have no substance? I wonder how often when we hear Jesus respond to John, do we actually hear him speak to us and our attitudes when he says, "You must not stop him. No one who works a miracle in my name is likely to speak evil of me." Perhaps I'm taking a narrow view and really only reflecting on the first part of this passage. But I believe that there is a real challenge for us just in this section of the Gospel. Many communities throughout the Catholic tradition in Australia at this time are addressing some questions given to us in preparing for the Plenary Council 2020. And a significant part of that process is listening to the Holy Spirit speak to us, an invitation to listen to the needs of the church, the whole church in Australia. There are many ways that we can learn from our Christian brothers and sisters in other traditions, especially in their use of times of prayer and praise in their liturgy. Yes, their music style might be different from our usual experience, but anyone who listens to the Journey Radio program via podcast or whatever is being introduced to a wide range of really uplifting music week by week. So how does Jesus want us to respond to those around us at this time? What challenges are being regularly presented to us by Pope Francis at this time about how we reach out to the lost in our community, not our brothers and sisters, but those who are really lost? Could our resistance to some of these challenges be something like the obstacles that Jesus speaks about later in the passage of the Gospel today? If we dare to believe in the Word of God, and if we listen to Him and His messengers in our world, then we have a chance to hear a new call, a call to see in all our brothers and sisters of faith the abiding wisdom of the Holy Spirit in many voices and languages. For the gift of salvation that we have been given is a gift beyond all measure and a treasure beyond our wildest dreams. I believe that today our God is inviting us to share that gift with everyone in the world. My prayer is that we will work with all who are part of the Christian tradition in all its many shapes and sizes, and make the message of the saving love of God truly a sign of our unity and not evidence of our brokenness, so that we will be one as our Heavenly Father calls us to be one.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews and wisdom for living life to the full.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Journey, great Christian radio for the whole family.
Here's Sister Hilda with Wisdom from the Abbey.
Most of you would be very well aware, I'm sure, of a particular phone that's got something inside it that allows it to connect with an Android called Siri. What you do is press a button and ask this particular Android any question you like. This fine example of artificial intelligence makes some sort of World Wide Web search and comes up with the answer. Now, we don't have those kind of phones at our Abbey, but someone visited us and she had one and showed us. We had the time of our life asking Siri all these questions and rolling around the floor laughing at the accuracy and non-accuracy of the replies. Finally, our abbess took the phone and she asked this question, "Siri, where is God?" And the answer came back, "I am not qualified to answer this spiritual question. I suggest that you widen your consultation. Perhaps ask a human being." Now that blew us away. Firstly, I'm not qualified to answer that spiritual question. There was humility in a veritable robot. How many times do you and I ever think to say, "I'm not qualified to answer. I don't know the answer." So often instead, you and I want to look good with everybody else, so we come up with an answer, whether we know it or not. How is it that we think others do not see through our shallowness? Then comes the second part. Perhaps ask a human being. Yes, indeed. Ask a human being if you want to know where God is, because human beings are exactly where God is. Three cheers for the human being that knows within his or her own deepest sorrow that God is there crying too. Three cheers for the human being who knows in their greatest joy God is there rejoicing with them. Three cheers for the human being who walks down the street knowing that they're walking with the presence of God beside them. Three cheers for the human being whose very kindness radiates the person of God present. A great Benedictine saint, Gertrude, once said to God, "When I return into my heart, I find you there." She knew where God lives. You'll find him in the human heart, no matter what the outside of the person looks like.
That right there, my friends, was Sister Hilda Scott. She's from the Abbey in Jamboree. She's a Benedictine nun. She's a superstar when it comes to speaking to young people and speaking to the lives of people, because she's such a woman of prayer and faith and depths herself in the scriptures every single day. That's why she's got so much wisdom. Today, she had a little piece for us that basically had the title, "I'm Not Qualified," and I hope you enjoyed it. And thanks very much, Sister Hilda, for all you add to our program, and you have done for a long, long time now. Before that, you heard from Father Mike Delaney. He gave us our scripture reflection based on the Gospel of Mark this week. Love to have him, and we've got some more good stuff coming up after the break. Pete Gilmore, he's going to talk to us about faith in action. First up, though, a bit more music and then a bit of a break, but the song we've got now for you is from Casting Crowns, and the song is "Your Love is Extravagant." Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you are still on the journey.
Intoxicating in a secret place, 'cause your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is the love that covers sin.
capture my heart again. Your love is extravagant. Your friendship fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place, and your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is a love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever known. You considered me a friend and spread wide in the arms of Christ is a love that covers sin.
Now let's live the gospel with Pete Gilmore.
In the later years of high school, I had a pretty profound experience of God. It was one of those moments where everything seemed to click and I was like, yes, my parents believe in God, but this is my faith now. These are my beliefs. I wanted to live out my faith. I wanted to share the gospel. So I did what anyone in my position would do. I got my big, fat, gigantic Bible from home and I slapped it on the top of my pile of school books. I carried it everywhere I went and I was never backwards and coming forwards about my faith. This didn't seem to have the desired effect. I seemed to be turning more people off than turning them to God. I wish I knew then what I know now, because I think it would have changed my approach in high school. I was so eager to tell people about God's love that I forgot to show God's love. I wanted people to know God's salvation so badly that I forgot to reach out to those around me that needed help. I knew they needed God's mercy, but I wasn't willing to be merciful myself. As St. Francis said, "Let us not love in word, but in deed and in truth." I pray that we put faith in action today. God bless.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
And only one of his race.
enjoyed that song. I did. It's a little cracker that was made by the Diocese of Wollongong a few years ago as part of their Lenten programs. It was written by Tracy Coombs, and there's a bunch of us from this office doing the chorus in the background. We had a great time doing it and playing bass and playing guitar and keys. It's pretty much come straight out of this office of renewal and evangelization in the Diocese of Wollongong, written by Tracy, who wrote a lot of really powerful psalms for our Lenten program. Speaking of which, it's time now for people to be getting ready for Advent in coming months. And if you go to our website or go to Diocese of Wollongong website, you can get access to some really good resources, those sort of CDs. But coming up is a really good small group Lenten program for groups of Christians to get together. And it's certainly a program that's produced by Catholic Diocese of Wollongong, but we've got guys in a lot of churches have used it in recent years, and they just love it. I've been giving it to some mates of mine in different denominations. They go, what a great way to get ready for Christmas and to remember the reason for the season. So go and have a look at that at dow.org.au, and you can have a look at the Advent program, and you can purchase that online. And it's just a great resource for small groups to really get attuned and focused for what Christmas is all about. Thanks to Pete Gilmore in that mix, who in his Living the Gospel segment spoke to us about faith and action. As I said, Bruce Downs, the Catholic guy, he's coming up now too. He wants to talk to us part two. If you missed it last week, you can go back and listen to it again, but it'll stand alone really well on its own if you're just hearing this week's one. But it is the second part in his series about staying fresh in your faith. We'll also listen to a bit of Need to Breathe in there, the song Testify. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and thanks for joining us on the journey.
And now, inspiring you to dream. Here's Bruce Downs, the Catholic guy.
See, what's the environment like for a group of people who are gripped by a call that they can stop and say, I think this is what God is asking me to do? The first thing I've noticed about the atmosphere, the environment, is that there is an atmosphere of excitement. What would happen if this happened? How many of us, when we go to church on Sunday, to the most powerful thing in our week, are walking in there going, this is going to be powerful? For many of us who are walking in, and if we're truthful, we're starting to go, I need to do this because I've got to fulfill this obligation. How do you measure atmosphere? You measure it by the talk, you measure it by attendance, you measure it by the enthusiasm and the positivity of people. Because the second thing that I've learnt about the atmosphere or the environment of a group of people that are called is that people are joy-filled. And what do I mean by joy? I'm not talking about laughter, happiness, even though that's part of it. Joy is this deep sense of, this is what God has called me to. This is my direction. This is where I'm meant to be. And there's that contentment that's within you. And funnily enough, you meet people of deep joy, the circumstances around their life and their family and the environments where they are can be absolutely turbulent, but there's a deep joy within them. If we don't do things occasionally to spruce up our spiritual life, like go to a conference, read a spiritual book, spend regular time talking to God, it doesn't take much to become ordinary. Why do things become familiar? Well, sometimes because they lose their enthusiasm, it's sometimes because of failure and disappointments. I could write a book on my failures, and I could write certainly a couple of books on my disappointments. Things that I wanted to work that haven't worked. Things that I thought should be successful and weren't successful. And the reality is, if you're not careful, failure and disappointment, which is part of everybody's journey, can rob our enthusiasm to be committed to the things that God has called us to do. And yet, our failures and our disappointments, if we are open to God, can be the very vehicles through which God can purify us, that God can work in our lives to help us become the men and the women that we are. Another reason people become bored or they lose their enthusiasm is because of the busyness of life. And what I mean by the busyness of life is most of the successful people I know are very busy. I'm talking about so busy that the basic things of reflection, the basic things of refreshment that keeps your perspective true, of being able to go back and look again at the things that you believe God has called you, that people are too busy for the basics. Another thing that causes us to lose enthusiasm is this whole idea of distractions, that we can become distracted from the very thing that we're meant to do. God says to us, I want you to do this, and along the way we find other good things and we find ourselves distracted. Distractions can take us away from being the men and women that God calls us to be, and distractions can take a group and cause a group not to be and achieve what it's meant to achieve.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Give me your heart, give me your song, sing it with all your might. Come to the fountain and you can be satisfied. There is a peace, there is a love you can get lost inside. Come to the fountain and let me hear you testify. Into the wild canyons of you, oh, there's a world to fall into. Weightless will dance like kids on the moon. Oh, I will give myself to you as soon as you start to let go.
Advice on peaceful parenting, here's Marilyn Rodriguez.
One of the things that helped me to adjust to becoming a parent was to read a book called A Mother's Rule of Life by Holly Peelett. Holly's book details her struggle with feeling overwhelmed as a young homeschooling mother of five. She explains how she found purpose and happiness by prioritizing her time and activities based on what she called the five P's. The five P's are the most important and defining priorities Holly identified for mothers in particular, but they apply to fathers as well. They stand for prayer, person, partner, parent, and provider. And while all are important priorities, these are listed in descending order. The first P, prayer, points to the fact that our first responsibility as a created being made in the image and likeness of God is to our relationship with our Creator. Our need for prayer should have the first claim on our time and energy. That doesn't mean spending hours in prayer while neglecting our other priorities, but it means that if we value our relationship with God above all else, then the other aspects of our lives will fall into place. The second P, personal, refers to the need for ongoing personal growth and self-care. The third and fourth P's, partner and parent, reflects that our marriage is our primary vocation, from which healthy parenting flows, and thus nurturing our marriage is a slightly higher priority. The fifth P, provider, is about providing the material necessities, physical care, a loving atmosphere, good role models and education, and all the things we parents need to provide for our kids. This fifth P is important and can even legitimately take up the bulk of our time, but it comes last on the list because if our activities as a provider cause us to completely neglect the other P's, the outcome for us and our families probably won't be a happy one. I find the concept of the five P's helpful when taking stock of whether my everyday life is reflecting my values. When things seem chaotic, it's usually because the priorities of prayer and the personal have dropped completely off my radar, or I've been placing my kids' needs way above my husband's for too long, and some reprioritizing of our marriage is needed. Above all, when I remember to ground everything in gratitude and trust in God, it is more easy to be a more peaceful parent.
A strange and lovely sound, I hear it in the thunder and rain. It's ringing in the skies like cannons in the night. The music of the universe plays. We're singing, you
still you love.
Love that song, Cannons by Phil Wickham. Also heard from Marilyn Rodriguez. She's the peaceful parent, and she spoke about the five P's in parenting. That's a lot of P's in that sentence. Thanks very much, peaceful parent, for the five P's. Trying to trip me up in this back announcing. Thanks very much, Sue, to Bruce Downs, the Catholic guy who we heard from before the break. Going to keep reminding people about the need to go to plenarycouncil.catholic.org.au. That's if you're from the Catholic Church, from the Uniting Church, from some of the Pentecostal churches. I'm asking all my mates from different denominations to go and have their say online. We would love to hear what you think the church is, or the Spirit is saying to the church at this time. And for the future of the church, Plenary 2020 is going to consider some really basic but really profound questions. Would love to hear what you've got to say. Go to plenarycouncil.catholic.org.au and help us to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Great quote from Revelations 2:7. And that's the theme of Plenary 2020. Coming up, we've got some great music from Gus and Iggy. The song's called A Moment. Faith, Hope, Love and Life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you're still on the journey.
Pieces of everything berating me constantly, and I'm tired. My mind is a tragedy, surrounded by enemies. I'm a mess here. Look over my shoulder, and you're there to console me. You free me, my lover, and it's you who gives me peace again.
It's time for Smart Loving with Byron and Francine Parola.
There's an old adage in the world of parenting advice. Kids spell love as T-I-M-E. Kids don't need things nearly as much as they need a parent's attention and availability. It's a classic mistake that we all make too often. We give them stuff we've bought instead of the thing they need most from us, our interest and investment in them.
Or we do things for them instead of with them. Like we lock them out of the garage while we assemble a new bicycle, or shoo them out of the kitchen while we bake a masterpiece for their birthday. We tell ourselves that these activities show how much we love them, but truth is, nothing counts as much as simple time spent with them.
What's true in parenting is also true in marriage. Our relationships thrive when we give them our time and attention. When we reflect over our more than 30 years together, the periods which stand out as our highlights are also the periods when we were spending the most time together.
For example, our relationship flourished in our first 6 months of dating, despite living in different cities, because we spent so much time writing love letters, working casual jobs to pay for phone calls, and planning for the briefest moments when we were together. Yes, these were the long old days before emails, long-distance phone calls were metered, and thus brief.
Another highlight was a decade ago when we took a 3-month sabbatical and lived in a village in Italy. Without the demands of work or the distractions of extended family and social networks, we had heaps of time together. Although we were visiting museums and doing things with the kids, we were doing it together and our relationship naturally flourished.
Conversely, the darkest times in our marriage are associated with our relationship being time starved. Like when we had big projects happening at work or my client load took me out of town frequently. In these periods, our relationship stagnated and we grew distant from each other. We became critical and nitpicky and wholly less pleasant to be with.
In our busy world, stresses like this are an unavoidable reality for most of us. And though we know our relationship should take priority, there always seems to be something more urgent that needs our attention.
The reality is it really just comes down to our priorities. If something is important to us, we make time for it, and we can do the same with our relationships.
To learn more about healthier ways to relate, find us at smartloving.org.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
I fall down upon the ground, press my face against the earth, till my heart it rises over my head. As the wheat it bows down low, when the autumn wind blows, I kneel before the one I love. Find me grateful, find me thankful, find me on my knees. Find me dreaming, find me singing, find me lost in your grace. Like the dust that you first held, garden where you knelt, pull me up against your face again, till the breath of your home, feel the depths of my soul. All I know is I've been found by love. Find me grateful, find me thankful, lost in your grace.
They're a husband and wife team, and they make some absolutely great music. This is this husband and wife team, Byron and Francine Parola. They make some great resources for marriage and engaged couples and for marriages that need a bit of a pep up and need some new life breathed into them. Smart Loving is the name of their organisation. Go to smartloving.org.au. They're world-renowned, in high demand all over the place to speak at conferences and to provide resources. Today they had a piece for us called Currency. Hope you enjoyed it. And thanks to Byron and Francine for all that they add to our show so regularly. Time for me to sign off now. I hope you've enjoyed this week's show. Great music. Some amazing inputs from our presenters. We're just so lucky to have the calibre of these guys. People like Father Mike Delaney and Bruce Downs, the Catholic guy, Sister Hilda Scott, Pete Gilmore. Great to have Marilyn Rodriguez on the show, the Parolas. Next week we're going to be hearing again from Trish McCarthy and Sam Clear. And I tell you what, really... When you put all those names together, we are really lucky to be blessed with having all of these inputs from these renowned speakers and people of faith contributing to our show. But we will be doing it all again next week, so make sure you're listening. Go to jcr.org.au if you want to access this or past shows and sign up for the newsletter and email that comes each week, which gives you instant access to these parts and to the whole show. And we encourage you to share that with other people too. Faith, hope, love and life. That's what it's all about. My name's Jude Hennessy, and thanks for joining us on The Journey.
The Journey is produced by Jude Hennessy and edited by Nicholas Weir from the Office of the Bishop in the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.